Hey there, folks. Welcome to Rock and Rally Tennis, where it's all tennis, all the time. I'm James Lynn. Follow us on Twitter at Rock and Rally. That's rock underscore and underscore rally. And on Facebook at facebook.com/rockandrallytennis. Rock and Rally Tennis, podcast episode number 128, is brought to you by careerwonder.com, the ultimate career resource site featuring video interviews of professionals from a wide array of industries. Share in the stories, journeys, and insights about their careers and jobs at careerwonder.com. You know, as far as the men's draw is concerned, this 2018 U.S. Open is very highly anticipated. Heck, it's been over 2 years since we last had the big three of Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic healthy and competing in a Grand Slam. Each of the players has had to endure his share of injuries and recovery time over the past couple of years. Now, a lot of folks are picking Djokovic to win the U.S. Open, which is completely understandable. Djokovic emphatically announced his return to top form a few weeks ago with his victory at Wimbledon, defeating Nadal along the way in an epic semifinal. Djokovic also beat Federer in the final last week to win the Masters 1000 tournament in Cincinnati. By the way, in doing so, Djokovic became the first men's tennis player in history to win all 9 Masters 1000 tournaments. You know, as a huge Federer fan, I don't like to put it this way, but Djokovic has owned Federer in recent years, particularly in the finals of big tournaments. Djokovic has now won 7 of their last 9 matches and holds a 24-22 head-to-head record against the greatest men's player of all time. Djokovic also holds a winning record head-to-head against Nadal at 27-25. And so it goes without saying, welcome back, Novak. This should be a lot of fun. While Djokovic may be the favorite heading into the U.S. Open, I believe Nadal is the player you've got to keep an eye on. The U.S. Open is typically a tough event for Nadal, even though he has won it 3 times and is the defending champion. That's because typically by this time of the year, Nadal would have already played a lot of tennis and is more prone to wearing down, particularly on the hard courts. But compared to previous years, Nadal will actually be well rested as it relates to the pounding on the hard courts this year, because of injuries early in the year, Nadal will have played in only 2 hard court events heading into the U.S. Open. Most recently, just a couple of weeks ago when he won the Rogers Cup in Toronto. That victory, by the way, was Nadal's record-extending 33rd Masters 1000 title and 80th title on the ATP. For Nadal, the road to repeating as U.S. Open champion will likely be much more challenging than it was a year ago, where the most accomplished opponent he played en route to capturing his 3rd U.S. Open was in the semifinals against 2009 U.S. Open champ Del Potro. Nadal then beat Kevin Anderson in the finals in straight sets. Now, Nadal has looked and played great this year. He is healthy and his form looks fantastic. I believe the key for Nadal to successfully defend his U.S. Open title will boil down to whether he can effectively shorten some of the points and reduce the amount of grinding he puts his body through on the punishing hard court surface. Nadal needs to serve well and win some cheapy points off of his serve. If Nadal can do that, then I believe he will be the one to beat. As for Federer, he is still playing great tennis. But folks, something just seems a little bit off in my view. And it's been like this since he won the Australian Open early in the year. He did not look right at Indian Wells or in Miami, and the same at Wimbledon, uncharacteristically blowing a 2-set lead with a match point in the quarterfinals against Kevin Anderson. And even though he did reach the finals in Cincinnati a couple of weeks ago, he still did not appear to be himself in several of the matches, including the final where he lost to Djokovic in straight sets. Now, I talked a little bit about this in last year's U.S. Open recap, podcast episode 88, and again in this year's Wimbledon recap, podcast episode 124. You know, there does not appear to be anything physically wrong with Federer, but it just seemed as if he had difficulty settling into these matches. I mean, he was a little antsy and easily agitated, which often led to some puzzling tactics and wonky shot executions, particularly on critical junctures in these matches. For example, in his last 3 matches in Cincinnati against Wawrinka, Goffin, and Djokovic, we saw a lot of un-Federer-like movement, mechanics, and shot execution from him. From a movement standpoint, Federer was not his usual fluid self. I mean, I'd go as far as to say his movement looked a bit choppy and rushed at times. I mean, folks, these are adjectives that do not come to mind when we think of Federer. You know, the best way I can describe this, we all know Federer is a very elegant and stylish player. There is not a lot of quick or sudden movements to flow nor his strokes, and there is an effortless elegance to how he executes. But in Cincinnati, his strokes looked a bit flippy at times with the arm and wrist. His stroke mechanics, his forehand in particular, seemed to lack the usual flow and assuredness. I mean, this is probably what led to many of the oddly poor ball strikes. You know, I can't recall the last time I saw Federer mishit or outright shank as many routine groundies and serve returns as he did a couple of weeks ago. Now, as great as Federer is, he knows that anything short of his A game is likely not going to be good enough against a top-shelf Djokovic or Nadal, and or even some of the talented next-gen players. Hopefully, Federer will be able to smooth out these wrinkles by next week. As far as my dark horse pick goes, no disrespect to the next-gen group, but I've got to go with Del Potro or Wawrinka, both of whom are past US Open champions and playing well of late. I believe the key for both of them is their conditioning. For Delpo, look, he can end any point very quickly with his monster forehand. The question is whether he can control enough rallies and position himself to keep the points short. For Wawrinka, who continues to work his way back into form after the long injury layoff, look, he's finally starting to resemble the three-time Grand Slam singles champion that he is. Just in time, perhaps? Well, the question with Wawrinka is whether his physical fitness will be up to task at this point of his return to win seven best three of five set matches in the heat and humidity on the hard courts in New York. The bottom line, barring any early round upsets of the big three and other top seeds, this is going to be a very exciting and interesting US Open to watch. We'll see if the so-called old guard can continue to shut the door and delay the passing of the torch to the next generation of superstar players who are chomping at their heels. The old guard has done an outstanding job of that for the past 50 plus majors. We'll see if that continues. So sit back and enjoy, as I certainly will. Well, that's all for this episode, folks. Thanks for joining us at Rock and Rally Tennis. Please subscribe to our podcast at rockandrallytennis.com. I'm James Lynn. See you next time.